All right, let's bring in NFL Pro Bowler, former 49er, spends his time with CBS Sports these days. Randy Cross joins us on The Fan. Hi, Randy. You're on with Scott and Jeremy.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Well, what's your schedule looking like these days between college bowl games and NFL football? I'm sure you're a busy guy, right?
Yeah, it's a little crazy. Radio and, I do some Monday night stuff with Westwood One.
Right.
I just did that Baltimore-Houston game last week, and it's busy. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
So it's a great time of year.
Well, Randy, you saw some of the best and worst of the Ravens in that game because fans around here, after they had lost a tough one to Pittsburgh, go on the road and they let that big lead slip away in the second half, found a way to win in overtime, but people were pretty down on this team, saying it looked like they'd lost their mojo, and then they come back and get kind of a signature win against the defending Super Bowl champs. Just your thoughts on this Raven team.
Well, they are kind of who I originally, at the beginning of the year, kind of thought they are right now. I mean, offensively, they can run the heck out of the ball. Joe Flacco can make you pay, and the defense can make plays. Offensively, the one thing that kind of concerns me is I'm not sure really what they are. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. I think they're probably positive. But watching them from the outside, it's kind of hard to label, you know, what kind of team this is going to be. And they've got all kinds of great talent on the outside. I just think they're kind of at a conundrum right now as to what they're going to do with these receivers. And on the defensive side of the ball, there's just a little something itching at the back of my brain that says that offense had better score a lot of points when they get to some of these playoff games because, you know, I'm not sure if late in the year here that defense is going to completely hold up to the stress and the tough stuff, especially later in a game that they're going to be asked to play a lot.
Hey, Randy, as you look at the game coming up this week, I'm actually worried for two teams that if the playoffs were to start today, the Colts and the Ravens would meet up. I think the Colts are in a tough spot against the Raiders, and I think this Ravens-Cleveland game, I don't necessarily want to call it a trap game, but it looks like that could be another one.
A little bit. Yeah, I would agree with you. I think you've got to look at Cleveland as look what they've done to a couple really, really good teams. I mean, they beat the Saints, they beat the Patriots. So ever since then, they haven't snuck up on anybody. I just look at a game like this for Baltimore. I think it's in a division. They know who they are. It's not going to be surprising. I don't care about the day after Christmas and all that other fun stuff. I think the Ravens will be more than ready to win this game. Especially in that North. Short term, obviously you want to win your division, but I think for both them and Pittsburgh, the goal is one thing and one thing alone: get in the dance, get your ticket, and worry about what it says on the ticket after you've already got it in your hand. And I think for Baltimore, that's job one Sunday.
And there's a headline out today says McNabb felt disrespected by Redskins. Did you ever feel disrespected in your career, Randy?
I don't know if anybody was ever disrespected back then.
Yeah, right.
That's probably dating myself. But, yeah, I guess he was disrespected for what they're paying him and have paid him. I wish somebody would go out of their way to disrespect me once in a while. But he hasn't played very well. And how bad did that decision really make, or how bad did that decision really look once you saw that, you know, Grossman was able to move that offense the way he did? I mean, sure, he turned back into Rex Grossman and threw an interception and fumbled the ball and things like that, but that offense looked as good, if not better, than it looked all year long under Donovan.
Yeah, I guess you could say he pulled a Grossman in that game because the thing I think about him is he can make some throws, but he's a turnover machine from time to time. But, and I guess the same thing could be said about the quarterback that played last night in Chicago. I've always been really high on Jay Cutler. Now, he cut down on the interceptions. He made one bad throw last night. What do you think of him playing in for his favorite team and being with the Bears? Can he lead them on to the promised land? I guess maybe not necessarily the Super Bowl, but on in the playoffs to win a few games?
I guess he could. I don't look at him completely different than, remember Jake Plummer, who he didn't take over from, but Jake was in that mix right before he got to Denver. I think they're both what I've always called evangelist quarterbacks because they have the ability to make 70,000 stand up to their feet and scream Jesus. and they're going to get a standing ovation for either team and on any given play. And I think if he plays like he did last night, he has that accuracy and he doesn't force the balls Like, yeah, how often have you seen seen Jay do that? He will force balls where they don't belong because he has such faith in his arm. They're really good. They've got a solid line. They've got a really good running back in Forte. They've got excellent big play receivers. And, you know, just score enough points and keep out of that defense's way, and they produce turnovers.
Randy, you played on some great teams and won a lot of games, but I wonder if you had anything anywhere in your career that would resemble what the Giants and Eagles went through last Sunday, from the thrill of victory and how that might propel the Eagles to the agony of defeat, and can Tom Coughlin and the Giants recover from that gut shot they took from the Eagles at the Meadowlands?
Yeah, we helped a few teams snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Mm-hmm.
We were known for doing that late. If we had one game, we were early in my career, we were headed behind New Orleans 35-7 at the half and came back and beat them.
Wow.
that can be very, very crushing. I think they're lucky in New York because they have veterans. I think they're lucky in that they've got the recent history of what they did in 2007, going through the road trips they went through and winning a championship, beating a team like New England. Now, if they can draw on that, great. I wrote an article today for National Football Post, mm-hmm. where I basically said their rest of their season came down to two questions. Are they going to answer that call and do what I just talked about and try to replicate 2007? Or are they going to try to replicate last year's effort by the defense, where they just kind of went toes up at the end of the year,
yeah.
and basically quit on their coordinators? So it's a pretty simple decision. I was never had to go through that. I was on some bad teams, but never one that that imploded the league quite like that one.
Now, it seems like one of the games coming up on Sunday, Packers at home against the Giants, are going to decide one of those last playoff spots. I know it doesn't necessarily fall out like that, but that's how I kind of perceive it.
Kind of
it.
An elimination game, yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Which one of these teams in your mind gets in, and which one's scarier for an opponent in the first round?
I think it would be the Giants. I think that if I was to look at that from a standpoint of whether it's the Bears or the Eagles, or, you know, the Falcons or Saints, or, you know, who cares who comes out of the West. But, you know, one of those teams is going to have to deal with a team like New York if they're a wild card. And they can run the ball well. Eli can do some great things. That defense can put on amazing pressure. You know, they obviously have some, you know, psychological glitches for what they let up at times and do. But that'd be the team. I mean, I love Green Bay, but with Aaron Rodgers with a couple concussions this year and some of the injuries they've suffered through, I believe they're going to struggle if they get in the playoffs.
CBS's Randy Cross with us on The Fan. Randy, your old team, the 49ers, sitting at 5-9, but they've got a decent chance to still win that division. Kind of a crazy division, I guess. And it says more, I guess, about the NFC West than it does about the 49ers, that they still have a decent shot.
Yeah, isn't that something? I mean, that's the old, I believe it was a Don Knotts movie back in the 70s. I remember when I was a kid, I think it was the gang that couldn't shoot straight.
There you go. yeah.
That's the NFC West. And somebody's going to win it, and it's going to unfortunately add a lot of fuel to the fire that, you know, divisional champions shouldn't get home games, divisional champions, which I think is garbage.
Uh-huh.
I think our playoff system is set up pretty good, but I just think it's unfortunate that you have teams that have kind of come to this confluence all at the same time, where whoever wins this division, if they're 500, is going to be really, really lucky. And heck, the Niners can still finish 7-9 and win the division.
Yeah, right.
Now, looking at the Patriots and Falcons, everybody's talking about how good these two teams are at home. Do you write everybody else off and say it's a foregone conclusion, they get home field, that these might be the two teams in the Super Bowl? Very rare to see the number one seeds both make it. It happened last year.
Yeah. How often do we see that in college basketball? Before the tournament starts, you know, the number one and number two team that, you know, get to the final. It seems that we don't see it, and it rarely happens in the NFL, especially of late, where we've had so many, you know, fours and fives and sixes end up in the Super Bowl. I love the Falcons' chances, especially if they're at home. The way Matt Ryan plays in that dome is just sick. Mike Smith's got them really focused in tight. And, you know, New England's trying to sort of make up for what happened to them a couple of years ago. And they've done it, I think, in a very unexpected fashion by using so many young players, so many of what Bill Belichick's always done really well, which is sort of retread some old guys. And, you know, I wouldn't want to go into New England and play them in a playoff atmosphere, not when they're on this kind of the roll. I know Baltimore went in there last year and absolutely obliterated them physically, but I'm not sure if that same team right now you would go up and play and you could you'd do that too. But I think that's the way you beat them. If anybody's going to do it, they're going to do it physically. They're not going to outskill them.
Former 49er Randy Cross, now with CBS Sports, with us on The Fan. Randy, I'm sure when you watch football, your eyes go to your old spot. You're watching a lot of trench warfare down there. Who are the offensive lines that you look at and say, that's a pretty good group? Those guys, they're getting it done.
Well, you know, I've got to look at one right now that I saw last night. I was pretty happy watching them play and happy for Mike Tice, their O-line coach, was the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I was dead wrong about them. I didn't think they'd be very good, and he's really made something pretty good out of what they've done. I think the New York Giants, when healthy, are extremely sharp. Kansas City has proven to be one hell of a line. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, in your own division, along with you guys, have about as good a contrast at center as you could ask for. You've got a Pouncey from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. who's a rookie impressing people, and you guys have got like Matt Burke
yeah.
has done a hell of a job this year, because you look at all the personnel that's changed on that line. It's a wonder Ray Rice and that offense has the numbers it has.
Hey, Randy, as you start looking at the playoffs coming down, at some of the teams that are going to end up missing the playoffs and getting the draft next year, I start to think about, you know, teams like the Cowboys and also, you know, some of the other teams we had high expectations for, like the Vikings. Where do they go next year in the draft when you start looking at, I mean, they were expected to compete. They had a lot of injuries, but where do you think their biggest needs are?
Well, the Vikings is pretty easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You think maybe they might want to get a quarterback?
But do they do that in free agency, or do they look in the draft?
Oh, whatever gets them the best answer.
Yeah.
You know, if it's Leslie Frazier, great, or whoever's in that organization, they identify their kind of quarterback for their style of football. They need to get themselves solved to that position, or they're going to have some troubles. They got some age on defense. They better address. I think it's time to draft another offensive lineman, too, if you're going to do that for that team. It's going to be a weird year for the draft in general, because if I'm a junior, for instance, or a player just finishing my third year in college, I'm looking at this whole CBA thing happening.
Yeah,
I'm looking at probably already having a rookie wage scale. I think there's a huge argument to be made not to come out this year and to sharpen your skills, sharpen your standings, and stay in for a year, because you really won't be able to do anything if you're a player, especially a college player, probably until sometime in late August, early September, in my opinion.
Randy, how involved did you get as a player when the labor issue came up? And I'm sure there was times in your career where there was something going on, because I'm wondering, any distraction at all as these teams come down the stretch, that this March deadline is getting closer and closer, and there's a lot of question marks about what these guys are going to be doing next year?
Well, I think the distraction will be they'll be asked about it, and the fewer teams that last into the playoffs, the more they'll be asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they are saving their money. I went through two strikes. It
yep.
stunk. Neither one of them turned out that they got us anything. Eventually, we were able to get free agency for the players starting in 93, but for the guys that went through that 82 and 87 strikes, all we really got were missed paychecks.
Yeah.
And I just hope that the people that are running this union right now have got the ability to look out for the better good of the game more than anything else. They're going to sell certain things down the river. They're going to sell the rookie wage scale down the river. If
right.
they have to give up something, they'll give up former player benefits and let that wait for later. But I think the game is the most important thing, and it should be to the union, and it should be to the owners, because God knows it is to the fans, because they don't want to see any interruption.
Yeah, and it sounds like the 18-game season is probably going to happen. Your thoughts on putting them out there two more times?
Yeah, wouldn't you think? I mean, it seems this whole thing's about money, and it's all about revenue, and that'll be a source of more revenue, because two more games means two more games worth of money.
Right.
In my mind, they have to pay the players two more games worth of paychecks. They can't spread it out over two more weeks. I think there's got to be a bump for them, too. because the days of everything going in one direction in this deal are kind of gone. And I think you look at the big sports in this world right now, especially in America, baseball, football, hockey, it's just basketball. It's so many of these other contracts are guaranteed. None of it's ever guaranteed in the NFL. So if you're not going to guarantee it, you better give a pretty good slice of the pie while you got your shot at it.
Randy, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Good talking football with you.
Not a problem. My pleasure.
All right, Randy Cross, CBS Sports.